Well, welcome to our post-potluck messages. And as Josh pointed out, we have some kernels of popcorn ready to be popped. So the first one will be Chris.
Amen.
You ready?
Yep.
He's one of those slow poppers. Some of us take a little bit while longer under the heat to get going. Oh, and by the way, you got to stay right here and within your 10-minute time period. There you go.
No, that ain't gonna happen.
You got to stay right there. Otherwise, the mic won't pick you up.
All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 12. And we'll also be looking in Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the day you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, for the food you provided. We thank you for the fellowship. And now as we gather around the bread of life, we pray you bless it to our hearts. May we learn something from your word. Speak to each heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now when God wants to give you something and wants to tell you something, he has a way of repeating himself.
Amen.
Now, the subject is the wisdom of God, contrary or opposite the foolishness of man.
Yeah.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. We have an example of that in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was the keeper of sheep. Remember that. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the first of the first things of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Remember that. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain, man's religion. Abel, God's way. It is not much of a stretch to believe that Adam and Eve taught those boys, this is the way God wants a sacrifice. This is the way God wants it done. Abel listened. Cain did not. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. Man always thinks and always believes that he can help God out. I just need to do something extra to win eternal life. I just need to do something extra to win God's favor. I just need to do something extra to get into heaven. The answer to that question is no. It's already been done.
Amen.
Right.
It's already been finished.
Amen.
It is finished. The work is done. Salvation is free. It's open. It's offered. Man looks at that and says, wait, no, it can't be. There must be something I can do. It's been said before, and I'll say it again. The only thing man contributed to his salvation is the sin that required it. Think about that. Your sin required a sacrifice. Your sin required the blood atonement of the Son of God on a cross. Your sin, my sin, we contributed that to our salvation, to our redemption. If we could earn it, why did he have to die? Religion will tell you, well, it was an example to the believer. No. All of our righteousness is a filthy rags. There's nothing we can do on our own to get into glory except through the open door of Jesus Christ. The importance of wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 3, 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Amen. Where do you get wisdom? Where do you get understanding? From this.
Yep.
This is where wisdom is. You get in this book, you bury yourself in it, you study it, you apply it to your heart and to your life. Then you begin to understand things. You begin to understand the nature of man. You begin to understand why people need the Lord. Amen. You begin, most and first importantly of all, you begin to understand why you needed it to begin with. Then you begin to learn how to live the Christian life. You begin to learn how to follow the Master. You begin to learn certain principles and biblical things to help you grow and become strong, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's in this book. Wisdom and understanding is in this book. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Job 28, 28. Unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Amen.
How do you know what to do and what's right and what's wrong? Here.
Yeah.
Here. The fruits of the Spirit, you learn them here. The fruits of the flesh that you should not do, you learn how to avoid them. Flee fornication. Yeah. Unclean, unwholesome words. Cursing. The basic sins, but first and foremost, learn to avoid pride and the haughty spirit. Pride in man's religion is, I can do it by myself. No, you can't. You need a Savior. That's wisdom. It is through faithful preaching where we find true wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's a lot right there.
Amen.
What Paul's basically telling you is the world will look at this. The world will look at this preaching service right now. And they'll say, you're a bunch of fools.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you ought to be down there at the riverbank drowning some worms and fishing. Or you ought to be over at the ball game. You ought to be doing this. Anything else but being here. You guys are a bunch of fools. No. They're the fools because they're not here. They disdain this. They don't like this. They don't want this. But the religious people, they'll go in the early morning, they'll do the mass, or they'll go and they'll get dunked thinking they're going to get saved, or they'll go on the Sabbath and think they're going to be all right with God, or they're going to give money and think that's going to buy their way to heaven. There is a way which seemeth right to a man. Those are not the right ways. The right way is falling on your face and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to take his precious blood to wash away your sin and to rise up from your prayer a changed creature in Christ, beginning with new things. beginning to live right, not to keep your salvation because you cannot lose it, not to continue to be saved, and not to even better yourself, but you serve the Lord because you love him, because he would have done for you. Period, end of story. The greatest and wisest decision that you can ever make is to receive the free gift of eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Sure. Right.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means for me, that means for this crowd, that guy back there. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah. Mankind cannot do anything to bridge that gap. The cross of Jesus Christ did. Man cannot do anything to wash away his sin. The blood of Jesus Christ did. Man cannot maintain and keep his salvation. The sealing of the Holy Spirit did that for you when you got saved. And one day soon, the Lord will come back. He'll say, come up hither! And bang, we're out of here.
Amen.
Forever to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And that will be a glorious day.
Amen.
And as far as I'm concerned, he's a day late. But you know what? I'm serious. You look at what's going on right now. Chaos. Absolute mayhem. This country's flying apart at the seams. And man thinks he can fix that. He can't. There's one person that can fix it. And he is coming back soon.
Amen.
So Christian, keep working, keep serving him, keep being an ambassador, keep yourself clean, keep doing right for his honor and for his glory and for his praise. Be a light to a lost world. Be a witness to those around you. Walk circumspectly. Be aware of your surroundings. Serve the Lord. And for those of you that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Don't waste another second. Don't waste another minute. Don't waste another hour. Receive him. He's there. He's got his hand stretched out to you. All you got to do is reach out and grab it. And once you grab his hand, he will not let you go.
Amen.
You have his promise on that. Eternal life, eternal salvation. Here's the flip side. Eternal death, eternal hell. The choice is yours. There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the ways thereof end in death. The wisest choice, again, I can't emphasize this more, is for the Christian to forsake your sins, the secret ones and the visible ones, and to live for the Lord. To those that are not saved, receive him. That's wisdom in a nutshell. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Wisdom in decision making. From Proverbs. Well, I'm just going to share something. I'll be quick. There's something that I've dealt with for a long time. I'm not going to air dirty laundry, Pastor. Don't worry. It sounded like that's where it was going. It's not. All right. But there's something in my life that's caused me a lot of trouble. And it has been an ongoing issue. And, This little study is some wisdom in decision making. I'm a protector to a fault, right? A lot of men are. That's what we're called to be. God called us to be protectors of our families, our wives, our homes. So I am a protector to a fault. I'll hear of a wrongdoing, and I want to fix it, right, guys? That's what we do. We fix it. I'll hear of somebody being wronged or some sort of wrongdoing, and I want to make that right, and I want to fix it. And sometimes sometimes I get a little hasty in that. So let's go to Proverbs 18. That's where I'm going to be. Proverbs 18 and I'll start in verse number 12. Time we got. All right. The Bible says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. Verse 12, it says, before destruction, the heart is haughty. It's easy to get there, right?
Yeah.
It's real easy to get there. Something hurts our loved ones or people we care about or the church or something like that that we hear. It's easy to get that haughty heart. I think one of the clearest marks of wisdom in the Bible is restraint. It's the ability to restrain ourselves, restrain our actions, restrain our words, restrain our emotions. We live in a world that's quick to react and quick to judge and quick to speak and quick to let our emotions gain control. God calls us to slow down and listen, to hear the whole matter before we act on it, right? Proverbs 18:13 says, not only is just answering quick a mistake, but it's folly and it's shame. It's folly and it's shame to answer quick. And how often do we do this? I know I've been guilty of it time and time again. And hasty reactions will only wound relationships. They'll distort the truth. But most of all, they reveal pride. Your hasty actions will reveal a pride. Let's turn over to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, 5. Proverbs 1 and verse number 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. We're not supposed to just have a knee-jerk reaction, even if something's wrong. Even if we see it wrong, it's not our place to let our emotions fly off the handle, to instantly try to go fix it, as much as that's ingrained in us as husbands and fathers and men that we want to fix these things, right? Amen. The Bible says that we need to slow down. We need to listen. And listening requires humility. You know, maybe there's more to the story. Shocker. You don't know everything.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't know everything.
Yeah.
Man, we like to think we do, though, right? We sure like to think that we can hear a little piece of something and we can just fill in the blanks and we know exactly who's at fault or what's wrong and we know how to fix it. The Bible says that's foolish. That's shameful. If we can slow down and we can listen, that'll guard us from strife, from gossip, from untruths. Bible says slow down and listen. Proverbs 17. Tried to stay in Proverbs, right? That was the goal. So I'm going to stay there. Just flip around a little bit. Proverbs 17. 17:27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words.
Whew.
Man, that's a good one, right? That's only half of it.
Amen.
He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That's the goal, right?
Amen.
To be a man of understanding with an excellent spirit, not one that jumps to conclusions or doesn't hear the whole matter. I'm going to be quick, but I just want you to think about this. If we can pause for a minute before we react, if we can just pause, hear the whole matter before we react, oftentimes something that would be said in haste can soften. And it could be turned into something gracious and something edifying rather than something harsh and corrective, right? It's not our job to play the Holy Spirit. It's not our job to fix every wrong, which I have been guilty of time and time again, of trying to fix it. Man, that's a hard one to get over, right? Guess what? Sometimes you can't fix it. Sometimes it's not your job to fix it.
Right.
Sometimes it's your job to just listen and keep your mouth shut. Amen, amen, amen. Right? Wisdom. Wisdom and restraint. That's what I've been studying. It's a hard place to get to. It's not a natural reaction, but a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That's all I got. Thank you.
Well, let's turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Not already there. Every day we have to make choices, don't we? Sometimes we don't even think about the choices we have to make. We just have learned to autopilot through our morning and get to work and go through life without much thinking about anything. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 is over here on the wall. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." This isn't about superstition or luck, but it's about the direction that your life is going to go. It's kind of important. And God promises to direct thy paths when we trust him. Let me tell you a story about leaning. I know a little bit about that. I started a job when I was 14. My dad worked at a place called Western Pacific Building Materials. I still work there. But I worked in the molding department, and they have all these different molding patterns. And they have these cool racks. They're like A-frame racks built out of 2x6s. And you have all this molding that leans up in there. That's like 16 or 20 feet long. And so these are real long, maybe like 20, 30 feet long. And then they'll stack up different patterns in different bins on one side and then on the other side as well. And one time in the warehouse, we were running low on one side of the rack and stacking a lot on the other side of the rack, and you can imagine what would happen. And this actually happened because we had rows and rows of these racks, and one went all the way over, hit the next one, which knocked that one over, and then hit another one, and there were like three giant racks that fell over.
It was on YouTube?
No, but you've seen those videos. It was like that. And, you know, everyone's looking around for the little Mexican guy. Where's Felix? Where'd he go? You know, we're hoping he's not in there.
Oh, no.
Luckily, no one died. But it's a reminder that if we're going to lean on our own understanding, we don't have that foundation that we need to have if we're going to lean. We need to lean on something solid.
Amen.
Right? It's going to fall Amen. Over. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. You know, before we can make wise choices, we have to know a little bit about where wisdom comes from. So let's look at this passage here. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So notice the actions that are required on our part throughout that whole passage.
Yeah.
We have to receive, we have to incline, we have to apply, we have to cry, we have to seek. Wisdom doesn't just drop into your lap, you know, as soon as you turn 50 years old. I'm wise now. Nope. You have to spend some time pursuing God himself. And that's where we find it. We find it from the words of his mouth. Sometimes we make decisions that look right to us. That's been talked about already. We think we're on the right path. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 16. Starting verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So, most of the time we think we're right, but God looks deeper. He weighs also the spirits, our motives, our hidden agendas, the reasons why we chose that, the real reason, the true reason. And wisdom begins with honesty before God. If you look in chapter 16, go down to verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We plan, but he leads us. Now, you think this private reflection of ours is so wise, this decision-making is so wise. But let's look what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That one line could spare us from countless regrets. We think, oh, we should make this decision. I'm going to make this decision. I'm the one in charge of this. It's my decision to make. But if we're doing it in isolation, we're not heeding this verse right here. We have to seek others' counsel. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Mike talked about this. Proverbs chapter 19. In verse 2, it says, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. When we rush through our decisions, we make a mistake. When we blame God for the results of our decisions, it shows that we never sought him to begin with. Now, I read that little phrase there where it says, the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And I thought of the tree that Adam and Eve were told not to eat. Right? And I thought, oh, well, this is a little bit of a, seems like a contradiction here. If knowledge is so great, why would God forbid them from eating the tree? Now, there's a different kind of knowledge, though, that each verse is describing. the knowledge of good and evil. It's not learning facts or wisdom. It's about claiming independence from God. I don't need God. I can make this decision for myself. You know, if we decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. But in Proverbs, knowledge means understanding that grows out of trusting God. That kind of knowledge strengthens our relationship. So wisdom in decision-making. Well, we know it's not about trusting ourselves. It's not about knowing everything. But it is about knowing something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And knowing someone. Right?
Yeah.
If our knowledge is flowing from dependence on God, it becomes good. It's good knowledge. Good things to know. When it flows from our own pride, it's dangerous. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 14 again. Look in verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A lot of times what you get when you make a hasty decision or a decision out of anger comes with some regret. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 3. Now let's do a little contrast with how if you had made wise decisions in your life based on the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." The fruit of wisdom is peace and joy and steadfastness, and there is a tree there that ought to be sought, the tree of life. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look in verse 5. It says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." When we trust the Lord, we seek his counsel. We slow down. We don't lean on our own feelings, our own emotions. We walk humbly and realize that we're dirt bags, right? We're dirt bags. That's what we are. And we can't be trusted. And he fills our choices with clarity and peace. That's the fruit of wisdom.
All good preaching so far. I'm just going to add to it and expand on these thoughts. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, please. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Talked about the old people, the hoary heads. That means the gray-haired people. How, raise your hand. No, you don't have to. Some of you women got the Clairol roots there. Yeah. You're included here. The hoary head, verse 31, is a crown of glory. Now, but the biggest little word in the English Bible, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Yeah, we're supposed to respect our elders, right? Whether saved or not, respect them because of, well, God commands it, right? And if you respect your elders, you're promised a longer life, a better chance of getting a hoary head when you grow up, you young people. Yeah. So I look at this here and I say, okay, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now that word way, you do a Bible study, it's another word for a road, a street. You know, you read the Bible, do you find any boulevards? Boulevard, no. Avenues, no. You find paths and roads and streets, but mostly I find ways. I've been over to Europe there, and they got the Appian Way, you know, 2,500-year-old road still there. And they got a lot of roads there. All roads lead to Rome, right? But we don't care about going to Rome. That's where the Catholics are. John 14:6?
Yeah.
Jesus says, I am the way. And you substitute the word road there. He says, I am the road. The road to where? The road to heaven. You know? Okay, I like that. That's the way of righteousness. If you're following Jesus, you're on the way to heaven. You're on your way. Hey. And it's a road of righteousness. That means just what? The self-defining. You do what's right. What's right is, it's the standard. It tells you what's right and what's wrong in life. So your gray hair can be a crown of glory. Who's got glory?
The Lord.
The Lord, yeah. He can give you a little of his glory if you're following him. If you're on the road with him, the straight and narrow. In the Old Testament, God's people, Israel, they were advised to keep on the path. So don't go to the right and don't go to the left. I was a young guy, I was about 8 years old. I was on my bicycle back there in New York. Country road, you know, the crown road, and we have ditches there. Keeps the water off the road. And the ditch is all 4 or 5 feet deep, you know. And I was barreling down the road on my bicycle, and I come to a fork in the road, and I want to go to the right. Well, I went to the right, but I went a little too far to the right. And me and the bicycle went off the road at breakneck speed, didn't break my neck, I landed on that bicycle. I got the handlebar right in the gut. You're talking about hurt. God doesn't. He wants us to go through life following him on the straight and narrow, doing things his way. Don't say, I know what's right, I'm going to go over here. Or I want to try this over here. He says, stick with me on the straight and narrow. Just follow me. He's on the way to, he'll lead you right to heaven. Down the road, the way of righteousness. So walk like Jesus. Don't depart right or left. That's another word of don't sin, right? Do what's right. So he says there, that verse, that hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now I include the next verse here. Same thought, carries on. He that is slow to anger, we've talked about that, is better than the mighty. Don't make hasty decisions. And he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh a city. You might be a tough guy. Can you will conquer a city? You want to join ICE and clean up Minneapolis? Now you might be tough, but a real tough guy will control his own spirit. Yeah. That's a tough one. Anybody got that mastered yet? No, we're all working on it. Rule of the spirit. The spirit and the mind, the body, they're all connected, right? And if you can control your spirit, you can control how you think, and you control what your body does, you're going to stay on that straight and narrow and get that crown of glory from the Lord. I don't think I can control my spirit. I know the Bible talks about keeping the body under subjection, you know, and all that good stuff. But it's better to have the Lord control my spirit and take charge of my mind so I can do the right things. So how do you do that? That's why I got the how-to. I thought of this verse. The Lord says, go over there to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Very short verse. We're going to turn there. I don't even have to. I think I got this one memorized. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. pray without ceasing. Yeah. That verse always kind of gets me. How long do you pray? Do you pray 5 minutes? I get my thanks and I get my request from my friends and pray for my missionaries. You can drag it out maybe 10 minutes. He says, pray without stopping. Endlessly, nonstop. just keep going. Well, if I'm walking down the road of life there and I'm making decisions, that's what this is about, making decisions of proper decisions, everyday choices, maybe I should check with God. Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled with the Spirit. You want God to control you. Now, when you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit. You get all of it. All His power and all His help, all His mercy and grace, and He lives in you. But the question is, how much of you does He get?
Yeah.
So it says, when it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with His control. Be controlled by Him. Oh, there you go. Now if He's controlling you, you're going to stay on the straight and narrow and not end up hurting yourself in the ditches of sin, right? So I made a list here. What's He going to help me with? What do I need to pray about? You get up in the morning. You should start with prayer. And everything you do, check with God.
Amen.
Everything. Come up with a situation, you got to answer. Somebody gets in your face and gives you some flack. Are you going to come back with a snappy comeback? Snappy. That's a slapping. Or are you going to say, oh, wait a minute, I got to ask the Lord, how should I respond, Lord? You see, that's what Mike's talking about there. Don't be rash about things, right? Slow it down. They might think you're a little slow, but is that bad? if you don't have to eat words, you know, open mouth, insert foot, you know, you can't take words back sometimes. What is out there, you've committed it, and you got the answer for it. So instead of a quick comeback, ask the Lord, how should I respond? You know, all decisions. You looking for a job? Lord, should I take this job? Don't say, hey, it looks good, it makes money. But say, wait a minute, what are all the consequences? Let me think about this. Let me pray about this. Lord, what should I do? This verse talks about patience, right? Slow to anger. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the emotion, as you say. So ask the Lord, where should I go? What should I do? You know, everything. That's praying without ceasing. You know, should I get, Lord, should I go back to the dessert table and have another piece of cheesecake? Should I clog all the arteries here? Quadruple bypasses? You know, ask the Lord, right? You laugh, but hey, you know, I got to buy new pants because I didn't ask the Lord. He'd probably say, you don't need any more dessert. Everything. What should I buy? How many people's lives are messed up because they're in debt? I hear about people that have an average credit card debt of $9,000. I couldn't imagine that bill coming in every month. You just try to pay the interest. What a way to live. You're a slave to them. If they ask the Lord, should I actually buy this? Do I need that junk? Or have I got enough garages and closets full of junk already? Pray without ceasing, you know. And relationships, you know. Ooh, slow it down. How you respond, you know. Sometimes you're in a situation where you got to make a decision, but you can slow down. You can, you know, the Bible says even the fool is counted as wise when he keeps his yapper shut, right? So I find that's what I've been thinking about here lately. Everyday choices comes down to everyday prayer. Every little things add up, right? Thank you.
Tell you, all those are good messages, amen. Mm-hmm. As you think about all those, I'm not even going to try to PS any of that, but I want to challenge you to do something with all those things that you look at and that you put together. Those are things that you need to truly ask the question, Is there more I can learn from the Word of God? Yeah. Is there more in Scripture that I can figure out, you know, that I can find about? And I'll tell you, every single last one of those, you can definitely find something. Well, we're in. Let me get to my notes here.
Do we have one more, Pastor?
Who? You've got one?
Downstairs, I guess, when you take a roll call. Mine will be quick, I promise.
Fine.
Should just let it go.
No, just
obviously, we probably should have had an altar call before. I mean, I'm telling you, a bunch of good messages.
Amen.
I mean, there's been a clear theme, and obviously, I missed that point, so I should probably be the person up here praying, asking for forgiveness right now on the haughty spirit. Amen. That's good preaching, but no, thank you guys very much. That was very clear. But one thing, obviously, if you did a word study, which I'm assuming most of you men did here, if you look up wisdom is found, I got the e-sword, so it was 224 times. 222 verses. One thing you're going to find out with wisdom is you get it from God.
Amen.
It's clear. And one thing you find out when you start studying out wisdom is a lot of those words that come with it are learning, understanding, and knowledge. I like to think as learning is we went to school, you learned something. Pastors, I mean, people got up here, we've learned some things from the men preaching here today. We've been under sitting. What I like about understanding, though, is it's not understanding, or it's not undersitting, it's understanding. You're gonna have to learn some things. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:14, it says, stand, having your loins girt about with truth. You've learned some things, you've learned some facts, you've got as much as you could get through there. And that's also talking about the wiles of the devil and just that standing there. Knowledge. One of the biggest things I learned about knowledge. And we should get as much knowledge as we can get. But there is a difference in what you know and who you know.
Yeah, right.
I think somebody else just said that already. But I mean, I told that story before with Genos. Telly Genos owned a masonry company. He said, owns a masonry company, can't lay brick, can't lay block, can't do stucco. I said, Telly, how in the world do you own a masonry company and you can't even do masonry? He looked right at me, gave me some beat. He goes, Mike, it ain't what you know, it's who you know.
Yep.
And man, I shut up. I thought about that for a while, and the Holy Spirit goes, he's right. And I go, he is right, isn't he? You know what I mean? There are a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests and Jews knew a lot about the Lord, but they didn't know God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Knowledge. I like to put it this. Knowledge is, get as much as you can, by the way, especially when it comes to this book. But knowledge has a ledge. It is only your understanding. I'm standing. I know as much as I can get. I've come to the ledge of knowledge. Now I got wisdom. What? There's two little phrases in there. What is you going to do? Wisdom. Wisdom. What is you going to do with it? What is you going to do with what God gave you? Wisdom. You're not going to get away with it in reading your Bible and not seeing what God gave people to do. And he says, look, I want you to do this for the Lord. It's got nothing to do with salvation. You can't do nothing for your salvation. But the Lord's given a lot of people in this congregation a lot of talents. And what is you going to do with it? Amen. Are you just going to hype up? I never want to be the theologian in this thing. Getting fat on knowledge because knowledge puffeth up. I want to give something that the Lord gave in me to somebody else that's going to be helping beneficial to them. Wisdom. I heard it said this. This is somebody else's saying. I wish I could coin it myself. It says, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Right? That's your is-do. Don't is-do that in a fruit salad. It's a cheesy little corny little saying, but it's pretty smart. I thought about this, how wicked I am. I was going to make a fruit salad, put some tomatoes in it for the potluck.
No.
You guys, you're out of here. Get out of here. You know what I mean? But anyway. But wisdom in making the right decisions. That was the topic. I did not choose. This is, I'm going to lean away. James chapter 3 verses. Let me go turn to James chapter 3. There is no greater verses than these that have helped me with my decision making. That's me personally. Proverbs is very beneficial to the Word of God is beneficial to your life. Nothing will change you more than the Word of God. Nothing will help you more than the Word of God. But these verses right here, they have been, if you're making everyday choices and everyday, especially really important ones, this is crucial. James chapter 3, and in verse number 13 says, "Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show of a good conversation his works, his isdus, with meekness of wisdom." Now pay attention to this. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the what? The truth. Christ. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." You can, that will solve a lot of your problems and who you're dealing with in serious situations and relationships and what you're doing with at work. Everyday life. "But the wisdom," 17, verse 17, "but the wisdom that is from above is first what?
Pure.
Pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy."
Amen.
"And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them who make peace." I don't know about you, but I got those outlined in blue. Maybe you got orange. I don't know. But those verses have helped me. So let me say this. I got a couple points. Do something for the Lord. Do something with what God gave you. Go tell somebody about the Lord. Use your talents that God give you for the Lord. You read all through there in Exodus where they're making stuff for Aaron's garments. God put wisdom in them. God put it there. God gave it to them and they made stuff. It says, women spun goat's hair. Gave them wisdom to do that. God gave this person, I mean, we got excavate now back. I watched this guy run an excavator along that concrete. Didn't even put a scratch in it. I would have had to replace all that concrete if that was me. I do not have the wisdom or the skill to even do that. But some people do. And you got talents for the Lord too, that the Lord is more than willing to use you, and he will accept that gift that you're willing to give to him to help somebody else.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me say this. You're going to make the wrong decision sometime.
Yeah.
You're going to make the wrong decision sometime. Don't dwell on it.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't dwell on it. I've made the wrong decision many times. Smartest man in the world? Read the book of Ecclesiastes.
There you go. Amen.
Smartest man, wisest man in the world. God gave him it all, and he pivoted it all away. There's your warning. But do something for the Lord. Let me say this. Just because you think you might have made the wrong decision doesn't mean you did. Lean not to your own understanding. You ever just supposed to go somewhere on the way home, you've forgotten all of a sudden, you, oh man, then you go back there and all of a sudden you're talking to somebody about the Lord that you normally wouldn't have?
Yeah.
Oh, but I messed up. I should have went there before. No, maybe you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lean not to your own understanding.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Just double check it.
Just got to make sure. That's where I wound up getting hasty, amen? Well, I'm going to give you something a little practical. Turn in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3. Like I said, there's a bunch of great stuff that we learned. There's a bunch of stuff that, and I'll say this real quick. You know, the Word of God is a seed, amen? You know, go back over there to the parable of the sower and the seed. And the sower plants the seed of the Word of God in people's hearts, and it begins to grow, it begins to flourish, begins to bear fruit, and so on and so forth. Everything we heard right now is a seed, amen? And your heart is going to be the ground that it goes in. And whether or not it's going to be hard, stony, whether you're going to let the birds get it, whatever, however it's going to be, you need to have that heart that is ready to receive the Word of God, that is plowed, all of those furrows are broken up, and it's ready to receive the Word of God and grow. All of the stuff we heard today is exactly that. It's a seed that needs to grow in you. Don't just take it and go, oh, that's nice, and keep the seed in the bag. Okay?
Yeah.
Plant it. Grow it. See it develop into something in your life. So I encourage you to take everything that you've heard, start studying it out yourself. You know, one of the things that people always talk about is reading a Proverbs a day. There's 31 of them. Well, what about February? Well, then I guess you got to read a little bit more on the 28th.
Right.
For shame, amen? But all of this is good. And I guarantee you, if you know and you've read through the book of Proverbs, I'm pretty sure you probably thought, well, man, there's another good verse. There's another good verse. There's another good verse. Don't sit there and say, well, how come they didn't use that one? No, that's something that the Lord gave you.
Yeah.
You take that and you grow from that. Amen?
Yeah.
Again, you can't preach the entire Bible in one sitting.
Right.
So I don't try to do that. Neither are these guys. So take the stuff that they said and grow from it. This is what this is about. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 21, it says this. It says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. And he's talking about wisdom. He's talking about knowledge. He's talking about commandments in this passage is the context. He says, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. It says, so shall they be a life unto thy soul and a grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble when thou liest down. Thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, though thou lie down, or shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now I want you to think about this. He talked about two positions of a human being. Typically, you're one or the other. You're either standing upright and you're doing something, even if you're sitting, or you're laying down going to sleep. I mean, if you think about it, those are kind of the two positions that we have. I'm not going to take credit for it, but everybody refers to that acronym of saints. And everybody, you know, in between services on Sunday is a saint, because saint stands for Sunday afternoon is nap time. And we all sleep, amen? Some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us are busy. Some of us sit down for 5 seconds and then slip into narcolepsy. But I want to say this about this situation, and I specifically want to talk about sleep a little bit. Now, I mean, it's obvious here when he's talking about, you know, when you keep those things and you do not let them depart from your eyes, and you're always looking at that, and you're always looking at what God has given you, you're always looking at those commandments in your life. Again, taking the time to pause and asking things. I mean, all the things that we heard about right now, what is it going to do? It's going to keep you from stumbling. In your Christian life, it's going to keep you from stumbling. I guarantee you, every single last person here has stumbled at one point in time in their Christian life. Amen? And if you haven't, well, I guess you're special. But we all have, amen? And I'm sure that we probably remember some things, and just like Mike just preached, don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Learn the lesson.
Yeah.
Learn the lesson and move on. Accept the correction and move on. And get it right. Do the restoration things and move forward. You know, over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says about how you can keep from falling. Amen?
Yeah.
And again, the same principle here, it all has to do with the Word of God and the fear of the Lord and what you do with that knowledge. What is it that you do? Because again, I'll give a little bit more of a concise definition of wisdom, but even though Mike's was pretty good, wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. Just what he talked about. It's the right use of it. Sometimes people have knowledge and they don't use it correctly. You ever have somebody where you tell them something and they heard half of it? And then you look at it and you say, how did you come up with that? Because they only heard part of it and they used part of the knowledge and they didn't use it correctly. They didn't exercise it correctly. It is, if you will, the choice of approved ends that is the best means to accomplish them. You have the wisdom, you have the understanding that you learn from the instruction of the Lord. The Lord has a way that he wants you to use it to accomplish his will. Amen? And we find that this wisdom is done in act and effect and practice in your life.
It's not something that is just kind of this spiritual thing that you keep to yourself, but it is something that is demonstrated and shown. Now, when we start talking about discretion here, and again, to give a definition of that, it's discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, and it's united often with caution. I mean, we just heard some of that. Knowing what the difference between right and wrong, how to respond, how to take a pause, how to not reply angrily, how to walk in the ways of wisdom. I mean, all of these things that we see, that's very clearly those are things of discretion that we find in the Word of God. And if we do keep these things, then yes, absolutely, they keep us in that right path. They keep us in that way, and we don't stumble. We don't fall. We don't make a mess of ourselves. But I want to focus, like I said here, about something in the last part. Having an issue sleeping is not just a chemical thing. Let me explain. Give you some statistics really quick. Women are more likely to have trouble staying asleep than men. Insufficient sleep costs the U.S. over $411 billion annually. Drowsy driving causes more than 6,000 fatal crashes every year. Stress, work, and technology are major factors, with 79% of people struggling to switch off at bedtime and 60% waking up through the night with thoughts about work. An estimated 2.8% of adults do not get enough sleep. And everybody said?
Amen.
Meaning one-third of the adult population is sleep-deprived. You want to know what's wrong with people today? There you go. Because that will actually drive you crazy. It will cause you to have a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. Yep. Long-term poor sleep can reduce your lifespan by 5.7 years, women. Excuse me, 4.7. Dyslexic. 4.7. I don't want to increase that any more than it is. For men, it's only 2.4 years. Ladies, your sleep is important. Men, let your wives sleep.
Yes. Amen.
And all the women said,
Amen.
There you go. Chronic sleep deprivation contributes to stress and anxiety, depression and anxiety. And again, if you're one of those caffeine addicts, this is for you. The half-life of caffeine, or the required time for just half of it to be eliminated from your body, it's usually 4 to 6 hours, but depending on how you consume it and how much you've consumed, is anywhere from 2 to 12 hours. That's why they say don't drink any caffeine before 12 o'clock. Or excuse me, after 12 o'clock. You're likely to mess up your rhythm, your pattern for sleeping. So always be cautious. Again, you're talking about a chemical that will mess with your life. I understand sometimes we need that little extra juice to get going, but let's not be chemically dependent upon that. Amen?
Yeah.
A high percentage of people, and getting into that, a high percentage of people use melatonin and marijuana for sleep. I'll just be very clear with you. Neither one is good. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, what about my melatonin? Neither one is good. Yes. He's got an amen on that one. Even the dog says amen. And I say that because why? Because you're dependent on something. What does the Word of God say right here? We believe the Word of God, right?
Amen.
We believe what the Word of God says. He says here, if you keep these things, what's going to happen? When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be what? Sweet. I have a tendency, when I lay down, I'm out like that. Unless I'm thinking about something. Unless I'm stressing about something. And then I find myself awake. And sometimes some of the medications that I have, they cause a problem with insomnia. You know, when I take pain medications, it doesn't make me drowsy. It makes me sleepless. So I don't like taking any type of pain medications. Because it's going to keep me up all night.
But I will say this. When there are times that I realize I'm sleepless, it's something that I don't sit there and think and fester on an issue. It might be something that's going on in my life. It might be something that's going on in the church. It might be something that's going on at work. It might be something that's going on with family. It might be something that's going on with a brother and sister in Christ. And there's things that I do, and I pray about those things. And you know what? I have to leave that to God. I can't fix it when I sleep. I can't fix it at that hour. I can certainly pray about it. But I do have to leave that to the Lord. And that's where this wisdom and discretion comes in. Knowing when is a time to get up, and if you're awake, is that the Lord waking you up to pray about something? Is it the Lord doing something in your life to stir you to do things? And we find things like that in Scripture where that happened. Amen. When you go back over there and you read the book of Esther, and you find that the Lord caused somebody some sleepless nights to do something. And what did he do? He brought out the law to put them to sleep. There's nothing better than tax law to bore you to death. And I'll say this. Don't get into the habit of praying yourself to sleep. That's not what prayer is. Don't get in the habit of reading the Word of God to go to sleep. That's not what it is. That's why people have a hard time staying awake in church. But I will say this. If you want to get a good night's sleep tonight, ask yourself this. Am I using the wisdom and discernment the way the Lord wanted me to? Because, I mean, this is a promise of God. Amen. This is a promise that when I look at, I realize that I'm going to have some peace. I'm going to have some peace in my life. I'm going to have some time where I get to sleep. I'm not afraid. My anxiety goes away. You know what? There's nothing more beautiful than a saint that is just fully trusting God, laying their head down at night and going, thank God for the day you have given me. Amen. Thank God for all the glory that you got in it. Thank God for all that you have blessed me with. Lord, let's do this again tomorrow. And going to sleep. It's a practical thing. Wisdom isn't just to be used when you're awake. Discernment and discretion isn't just to be used when you're awake. It will help you with your sleep patterns. I've seen multiple people struggle with sleep, believers included. And they resort to, like I said, they resort to chemical things. And it creates a vicious cycle of trying to get to sleep using chemical means and then turning around and waking up in the morning and trying to use chemical means to get your body started. You're destroying your body. You are destroying your body. That's not what God intended to. I will tell you this. This book right here tells you how you can have a good night's rest. It's a practical thing. And again, I'm not trying to get to this mentality where again you're using these things for only physical benefit. What I'm talking about, the way it talks about this, is that it is a spiritual matter. If your spirit is unsettled, you will not sleep. If you are afraid, you will not sleep. And then we're talking about fear. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about stress. We're talking about depression. We're talking about all those things that can be wrapped up in that word afraid. And you know what one of the best things is right there? Is saying, okay, when I lie down, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm not going to worry about what I need to say because I'm going to have the Lord work through me and speak through me the things that I need to say so that I am a man that is excellent in the wisdom of God. Amen. These are all things that I look at and I say, this is how I sleep. This is how I get rest.
And I'll just be very clear. The Word of God is the prescription for everything.
Amen.
The Word of God is a prescription for everything. It will tell you how to deal with all of those mental health issues. It will tell you how to deal with these things. And I understand there are times there are actual chemical issues that you have to address. I do get that. And that's where medicine does come in. But in the majority of all of these things that I just read here and talked about, we're not talking about mental health issues. We're talking about things that are self-inflicted. We're talking about things that are self-inflicted. But all of that can be corrected with just an application of the wisdom of God in your life. Now, I know that sounds weird. I know that to us, sometimes that doesn't compute. But this is where, I go back to Romans 12. Transform your thinking. This book will change the way you think. Stop thinking about the world's ways and start looking at what God can do in your life. And I'll tell you this, above all, let God do the work. And there's the wisdom, amen? Amen. Well, we've had a good day today. We've had some excellent things from the Word of God. And now you know how to get some sleep tonight with all of that. But I will say this. All the things that we learned today, as I said this morning, it's all meant for you to pour out into someone else. Don't keep it. Pour it out. You're a vessel. And as I was sitting there thinking about Josh's message, earthen vessels, dirt bag, same thing. I was like, amen, right? That being said, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Please make sure you pick up your potluck dishes from downstairs. Again, we don't want to have those kind of collect and take up space down there. So please make sure that you get those. And if there's any, do we need any help downstairs cleaning up, or we got it all? Or
Yeah, they always need help down there.
Is there anything else we got to do? Or
are you looking at her?
I'm looking at whoever, because Sharon isn't here. So
right. We have a lot of volunteers. It's pretty good. I'm going to double check before we go.
Okay.
If that's not a second, just double check with me. Great.
Yeah. It's always good to, you know, if you can quickly collect garbages and stuff like that. We always need to do that after services. So any help in that regards would be greatly appreciated. But let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for just the day that we get to enjoy worshiping you, hearing from your word. And Lord, I just pray that as we take all of these things in, the Lord would use them in a way that would honor you and please you. Whether it is a simple thing regarding sleep, or how we rule our spirit, or how it is, Lord, we take pauses in our life and how we use the wisdom to do that which is right and walk in your ways. And again, Lord, understanding that all of this, Lord, is from you and you alone. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide and direct us as we go throughout the rest of this week. The Lord, we'd be vessels used for you, for glory and for honor, to pour out that excellent power that you have given, that you have shown in our lives. That, Lord, your gospel would be shown forth. That we would pour out comfort and edification to others that are believers, and salvation to those that need it. Well, thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And these things I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.